Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of God's Word that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's not a sin to be sad. Jesus never sinned. He was born innocent, and he lived a life free from any sin. God and man alike testified of his complete innocence. And it was in his perfect innocence that he bore our sin and confronted it, as he, in his innocence, faced the fiercest battle against evil ever waged, wrestling in prayer, sweating drops of blood, in anguish of body and soul. He said to his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." When Jesus witnessed the display of grief at the grave of his friend Lazarus, he wept with those who were weeping. No, it's not a sin to be sad. It's not a sin to mourn. It's not a sin to cry. God doesn't impose expressions of joy on his people. When the apostle writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always," he is not issuing a command from God's law. He's proclaiming the gospel. It takes the form of a command. It is stated as an imperative, but it has the substance of a promise. The key words are, "in the Lord." He doesn't say rejoice always. He says rejoice in the Lord always. True joy can't be forced. It can't be required as a condition for something. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Fruit doesn't produce itself. It is produced by the tree or the vine. We don't rejoice to rejoice. We rejoice in the Lord Jesus. Say it again, rejoice. Say it again, because it is worth saying. The joy we have in Christ is deeper than the sorrow we may feel on the outside. We feel sorrow, we feel anxiety, we feel a lot of things. These feelings can affect our faith. We know better than to base our faith on our feelings, but we do it anyway. We shouldn't do it. The Word of God consistently contradicts our feelings. There's a good reason for this. What we feel comes from living in bodies riddled by sin and bound by death. But what we feel is a lie, because the sin is forgiven and the death is destroyed. What we feel is a lie. What God in Christ has done is the truth. God became a man on Christmas. We confess it. "Who for us men and for our salvation was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man." We sing it. "Oh, then rejoice that through his Son God is with sinners now at one, made like yourselves of flesh and blood. Your brother is the eternal God." Becoming flesh and blood did not debase the deity. It exalted the humanity. The humanity of Jesus is taken into his deity so that it exists nowhere else. Our humanity is exalted in him. Our brother is the eternal God. Thus, through him, we are related to God. When we rejoice in the Lord Jesus, we are rejoicing that in him and through him and for his sake, the God of all creation belongs to us and wants nothing but good things for us. We don't have to ask permission to pray. As Christians, Jesus has gained us access to the Father. We don't storm the gates of heaven with demands. We stand before God as his dear children, robed in the righteousness of his only begotten Son. He is not so far away from us. He is near, at hand, right beside us, living inside of us, granting us his own meekness and gentleness. So we pray. Whatever causes us worry and grief, is God ignorant of it? Do we know better than he what's going on? In what area of life are we better informed? Concerning which problem are we better equipped to analyze it, address it, and overcome it? There is no good reason to be anxious. There's no good reason to worry. Anything that touches our lives concerns him who gave us his Son. And that's why we pray. He hears. He answers. He does what needs doing for us. He doesn't fail us in our need. He doesn't turn his attention away. We ask, he listens and answers. Christmas was not just then and there. We talk about it in the past tense, because it happened in time and space. But when God became our brother, he remained our brother. When he joined the human race, he did so permanently. It's not as if he can toss aside his humanity and leave. Forth today the conqueror goeth, who the foe, sin and woe, death and hell o'erthroweth. God is man, man to deliver. His dear Son now is one with our blood forever. He is Emmanuel. The name describes him yesterday, today, and forever. God with us. And this is how we obtain peace through prayer. It's not in the act of praying. It's not in the strength of the one who prays. It is that we are praying as Christians. We are praying in Jesus' name and by his authority. We are asking God to help us where we live, and we're doing so at the invitation of his Son, our brother. This is how and why we know that God will hear us and answer us. Through Jacob, God gave him the name Shiloh, man of peace. Through Isaiah, God gave him the name Prince of Peace. Through Micah, God said that he would be peace. Through the angels, God pronounced peace on earth when he was born. He himself said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace promised was procured by means of war. Jesus did battle against Satan. Satan tried to destroy Jesus when he was a baby, but Jesus was taken away to Egypt in safety until Herod, Satan's agent, had died. Satan tried to destroy Jesus right after his baptism, but Jesus withstood his temptations with God's word. Then on the cross, the peace on earth, goodwill toward men, was finally achieved. For there it was that Jesus took away from Satan all of his arrows and broke them into little pieces. No more can the father of lies accuse God's children of sin, for all of our sin has been borne, and by being born has been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. The Prince of Peace has established peace between God and us as we sing, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." This is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It is the peace that exists between a holy God who judges sinners and the sinners he judges. It is the peace that triumphs over judgment because Jesus took our judgment upon himself. He met what justice demanded and silenced the law that condemned us. God is at peace with us for Christ's sake. Our conscience cries out that this isn't so. We feel the sins and the guilt, and we face consequences of past behavior that prove the wrong we did. And then we worry. That alone defines us as sinners who don't trust in God as they should. In the face of it all, God sets our hearts at peace. He persuades us that this Jesus whom we confess is here with us as our own personal mediator. He speaks on our behalf. He claims us as his brothers and sisters. He refuses to disown us, even when our lives have failed the test. Whenever we claim him, he condescends to being claimed. Whenever we cry out to God for mercy for his sake, he points to his holy obedience offered up for us all and obtains that mercy for us. This is what keeps our hearts and minds at peace with God. It is a peace that defines us. It establishes us. It keeps us in the true faith. Joy and peace are thus joined as one. The Christian joy to which we are invited is not forced. It is not temporary. It is not dependent upon us. Rejoicing in Christ is nothing more nor less than taking to heart the good news he brings. The Prince of Peace establishes peace and keeps on bringing it to us in our need. As we confess in the Catechism, we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. That is the root of all anxiety and fear, and that is the source of our idolatrous running after fake joys. We need something that we can't give ourselves. That doesn't keep us from trying, but Jesus does. He keeps us from trying. He tells our troubled hearts why he came into this world. It was for us. It was to bring to us the forgiveness of our sins and the treasure of heaven. Hark, a voice from yonder manger, soft and sweet, doth entreat, flee from woe and danger. Brethren, from all ills that grieve you, you are freed. All you need, I will surely give you. Come, then, banish all your sadness, one and all, great and small. Come with songs of gladness. Love him who with love is glowing. Hail the star near and far, light and joy bestowing. Hither come, ye poor and wretched. Know his will is to fill every hand outstretched. Here are riches without measure. Here forget all regret. Fill your hearts with treasure. Dearest Lord, thee will I cherish. Though my breath fail in death, yet I shall not perish, but with thee abide forever, there on high in that joy which can vanish never. Amen. We're happy that you joined us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We wish you and your families a very Merry Christmas. The joy of Christmas doesn't come from us. The joy of Christmas comes from the manger, and he who lay in the manger went to the cross in order to fulfill the promise that the angels sang to the shepherds on that first Christmas day. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. It's also a time that paradoxically brings a bit of sorrow to many people who are living without loved ones who have gone, who have left. And we go back to where Jesus came into the world, and there we find our unity with the holy Christian church that is in heaven. Because when God assumed our nature and became a human being, he joined us to God. And this bond cannot be broken. And by God's grace, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it never will be. We thank you for being our guests today. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us. The services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish that bring this broadcast to you are Sunday morning, 8:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Sunday morning, 10:45 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and Wednesday evening at 7:30 at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile.